She like it when things are happening? You know, I like it when things are happening. If things don't happen at my house, I move something, change something, shift something. I'm the shiftiest person you know. The other, right after Christmas, you know, I took the tree down on the 26th of December. I said to Wayne, you mind if, let's move furniture. I love that. Just love that. I can't stand it. Things are stale. We can't move on with God. Things are stale. So if things aren't moving in the spirit, I move them in the physical. So I said, is there anything at all you wouldn't want to move? Because we have a grand piano. It's heavy, heavy, heavy. I was given a chance to say anything but the piano, but he didn't say that. So I said, well, I'm thinking about moving the piano. So we shifted it all, and I was one happy person. I moved the lamps. I moved the end tables. I have a multitude of sofas. I moved the sofas. It's not that we have a large house. We have a small house, and everything close together. And since it's just Wayne and I and the dog, that works out okay for us. Sometimes God wants to shift things. He wants to change things in your life. We have to be alert in the spirit to hear from him and then to obey. Now, I don't know why we're slow to obey. Maybe you're one of those speedy, obedient person, but usually I have to think about it and ponder it, even after walking with God all these years, because some things I'm not interested in. Has that happened to you? And yet we're told to crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we're going to run the race with God, we're going to run in discipline. And one of the chief disciplines is to keep the flesh under. Paul said, I keep my flesh under. He said, I don't want to preach to you and then I myself be a castaway. So what he was preaching, what he was teaching, he had to follow himself. And he said, we're running to win. King James says to obtain. Most translators say to win. So when we're talking about running a race, we're running to win. Well, sometimes we're not in position to win. And you know who helps us? Almighty God. My, he helps us. And that's what the chastening of the Lord is. It's simply the help of God to get you in a position to win. Now it says in Hebrews 12, chapter 1, therefore. Wherefore, the King James says, a wherefore and a therefore about the same thing. Therefore, that connects it to the great hall of fame in Hebrews 11, which talks about Abel and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Gideon and some others. Men and women who heard from God, obeyed God, ran the race with faith and patience, and won. And that's God's will for every single one of us. He doesn't want any of us to lose out. Any of us to struggle through life, come to the end of life, and not being able to say with Paul, you know, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. He ran the race with patience. He came to the end of the course. He knew he had done the thing that God called and asked him to do. He said, I have finished. You know, sometimes if we don't hear from God, we don't make the changes that are necessary to finish. And then we'd have to say, I almost finished. I wanted to finish. I tried to finish. I came a little short. Hope it didn't come too short. And we want to what? Finish. And in the parable, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that's really finishing the course, coming to the end of the day, the end of life, 70 and if I reason strength, 80 years, and being able to say, I finished. I finished. Now in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, everybody's watching you run your race. You needn't think you're going to run in secret. We're going to notice what you are or are not doing. And so many times people are inclined to help you, but you don't pay much attention to their help unless God sends them. God speaks to you and God sends people to speak to you from time to time. Otherwise, everybody else you can just ignore. Isn't that good news? More than once I said, really? Well, I'll think about it. That was the end of that. I thought, shoo, that's not right. We don't have to obey the voices of men. God doesn't want to tell you about me. He wants to tell me about me. He'd only tell you about me if he couldn't get through to me. You know, he'd keep trying to get through to me and keep trying to get through to me. Because he wants to talk to me. He wants me to make the shifts, me to make the changes. Chastening is the changes that are necessary in order to run the race and finish the course. Come to the end of the way, and God will be able to say, well done. Now it says, everybody's watching, a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. We have a race. We have a vision, a goal given to us by Almighty God as individuals and corporately as the body of Christ in this place. We're going to run towards that goal, run with that vision, and we're going to run steadfastly. That's patience. It's keeping on, never veering off course. But do you notice what sends us off course is sins and weights? Now, that's two different things. Sin is what you shouldn't have done or said or what you should have done but you didn't. There are sins of omission, sins of commission. But a weight is just a hindrance. It's not illegal. It's not immoral. It's not a sin. It's just not going to help you run the race. Now, if you watch any of the Olympics and you like the races and you come to the races and the ones racing came out in their mountain climbing boots and their heavy jackets and gear, you'd know they don't really intend to win. They're not dressed for the race. And there are some things that are a hindrance. I used to play tennis. I was teaching three Bible study groups a week and playing a little tennis. Children were little, so I had to have a sitter to play tennis. And it became a real hindrance. Nothing illegal or immoral about tennis. It's just that it was a hindrance to me. It was a weight in my life, and God began to deal with me. And I had a tennis partner. I loved her. She loved me. We met for tennis once or twice a month. And God began to deal with me. Give that up. I didn't want to. See, if we're going to run with God, we've got to crucify the flesh. We've got to tell the flesh we are going to obey God here. Because God's purpose for you is always good. He says, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Jeremiah 29. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts, it says, to give you an expected end. Not an unexpected end. Not like, oh, wonder why that happened. See, as we listen to God, we have an expected end. Because we have a goal. We're running a race set before us. We have a goal. We have a pathway. We have a vision. We have a plan. Planted in our heart by Almighty God, and with steadfastness we're running towards that goal, and we're running to win. We're running a disciplined life, surrendering those things of the flesh that would be a hindrance. Now, you know, sometimes if God doesn't speak to us, I didn't know it was a hindrance. I'd have told you it's great exercise, which it was. But yet God said, no, it's not good for you. So we compromise. So I told my tennis partner I didn't have time for tennis anymore. I loved her. We had played tennis for years. And so periodically, late at night, I'd go down the tennis courts and just hit the ball against the wall, you know. Compromising with God. I gave up my partner. That's what he said. I'm not playing tennis in the daytime. Not hiring a babysitter. Concentrating on my three Bible study groups. But I'm just sneaking in just a little, you know, compromise. Lay aside what? Every weight. That's anything that hinders. It's anything that slows down your progress. Anything that keeps you from succeeding. Anything that gets you slightly off course. Now, I'm not a hiker. We have a whole group of staff of photographers in our family. Everybody has a camera. And they love nature photography. And they'll hike for miles to get a picture of some bird in a tree, you know. And you should see the backpacks, all the camera equipment and all the lens, thinking, no way am I going to do that. I mean, they are loaded. They are equipped. Sometimes we're loaded with the wrong thing. We are equipped with the wrong thing. How are we going to know what to lay aside? How are we going to know what to stop, what to start? What to continue on, what to eliminate? How are we going to know that? The chastening of the Lord. Now, I was raised in the denominational church. I thought chastening was when God did something awful to you because of your awful behavior. I didn't know God was good. Somehow that thought passed me by, or else they didn't say it. I don't know. I didn't know every good and perfect gift came from above. I didn't know He came to give life and give it more abundantly. I didn't know He'd meet all my need out of His riches and glory. I just thought God gets ticked off with you. There's no telling what'll happen. You may run over you with a car. So when I came to this chapter, I didn't read this chapter. I skipped over it for years. No use reading that. I don't want to know about that. I know there's something awful about chastening. I don't want to know. And I found out chastening is one of the best things that God does for you. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, you have small children. You start when they're little and you say, don't touch the stove. Stove's hot. Just stay out of the road. And then as they get bigger, you add bigger things, bigger do's, bigger don'ts. And then they become suggestions. As they roll from their teens into their 20s, you know, you get where you can't command anymore. Mothers with little children often complain. I said, no, these are your best days. These are your best days. How are we going to know what to start, what to stop, what to change? How are we going to know how to run this race? How are we going to know when we're off course? You know how sneaky worry is? Worry tiptoes into your life. It tiptoes. You don't even recognize it. It comes into your life. It becomes grounded and rooted. It begins to shatter your existence, and you're not even aware you're worried. Had it happen to me over and over again. I've talked to people. They came to themselves one day and realized they were worried, realized that they couldn't move on because of some problem they'd meditated on, pondered, and thought about. How come they didn't recognize that? See, Almighty God, that's a weight to them. And worry is really a sin because God said, don't do it. How are we going to know what to stop and what to start? How are we going to recognize the things in our life that are a barrier, the things that are a hindrance? He said, lay aside every weight. Now, I know this is connected to chapter 11. God came and told Noah, build an ark. Now, Noah was a grown man. His three sons were married. We know that from the scripture. Now, Noah had not been making his living as a boat builder. I don't know what he had been doing, but he wasn't a boat builder. Because wasn't anybody building boats in the desert. Wasn't any reason for that. And God comes along. What has he got to lay aside his business? His ranch, his farm, his cattle. Lay that aside. Why? Because he's got to build a boat. He's got to have a good boat, one that'll float. A boat full of animals, so it's got to be a big boat. And you know, I was reading, perusing over that scripture just to make sure I didn't tell you a lie, that I was quoting it. I like to tell it like it was, not like I remembered that it was. And God told him to gather the food. He was out gathering food for all those animals himself, him and the boys. He had to lay his business aside. I don't know what it was, but I know he had to lay it aside. He couldn't accomplish the purpose of God if he was in business. Now, it wasn't illegal. It wasn't immoral. It was a weight to Noah. That doesn't mean that that would apply to you. See, as individuals, we have run the race set before you. Your race is different than my race. And what I lay aside may not be a hindrance or a barrier to you at all. Lay aside. When you lay something aside, you put it down, you back off from it, you don't go back and pick it up. It's like throwing a rock in a pond. You throw that rock in the pond, it sinks to the bottom, and it is finished. It is over. Now, Noah, Abraham laid aside his family. God said, leave Ur of the Chaldees. That was his home. Go to a land that I'll show you. Didn't even know where he was going. Now, you know the witnesses love that. They said, you're doing what? Well, where are you going? You don't know. You know, they must have thought, this is one crazy old man. And he had to lay aside his... He was a wealthy man, so he had property. You know he had property. When he got to the promised land, he had 318 trained servants. That's servants of war born in his own household. 318 trained servants. That's not the cooks. And the cleaning crew. That's the homeland security crew. So he had some things he laid aside. Why? God spoke to him. Said, leave Ur of the Chaldees. And he had to lay his family aside. God said, don't take them. Now, I know he took his father and he took Lot. His father died along the way. And Lot turned out to be a hindrance and a weight to him. Because he had to keep going to rescue him. He didn't lay aside everything. It cost him. What are you going to lay aside? Is there anything in your life that's a hindrance, that's a barrier? I don't know, but I know who knows. And I know God doesn't want to tell me, he wants to tell you. You know, and you may go for weeks and months and years and just ride on. Then all of a sudden, it's like God deals with you in seasons. It seems like he's just on your case. You know what I'm talking about? Don't do this, do this. Add that. It's a time of growth, a time of maturity. And God begins to deal with you. Now look at verse 7 of this chapter. I love this chapter. God is not going to get you. He is going to speak to you about the weights and the sins, the hindrance, the barriers in your life, the obstacles that prevent you from running the race. He said, if you endure chastening. You see that word endure? That's a heavy word. God deals with you. I love that. I just love that. God deals with you. You know, when I get in trouble, what I do? You know, you can tell things aren't working. Maybe you don't have enough money. Maybe your neighborhood is, you know, our neighborhood is deteriorating rapidly. I said to Wayne, somebody ought to do something. We had gangs on our neighborhood. at the day I passed, got out early to do something at 7, 8 o'clock, they were already gathered in front of somebody's house in all their black suits. Everybody down our street was robbed. I kept saying to Wayne, somebody ought to do something about this neighborhood. And then it dawned on me, I was the one. And I began to pray. Those gangs shut down and moved off 2 weeks' time. They moved policemen in there, had to move them out for their own protection. Couldn't keep them in there. The gangs were so strong. Policemen came and went. But when we prayed, they were gone. They were an obstacle. They were a barrier to our safety, to our protection, to our neighborhood. See, what's an obstacle in your life? God began to deal with me, so you do something about it. You do something. It didn't dawn on me to do something. I kept saying, somebody ought to do something. You know, I thought maybe more policemen ought to do something, or somebody ought to do something. Somebody ought to do something. Then everybody was robbed, and then we got a security system. We were robbed twice. And then they came back and took everything. We don't have a garage. We just have a carport, so they that didn't work to their advantage. But everybody had a garage, got robbed the third time because they went through the garages, took all the lawnmowers and the tools. I kept saying, somebody ought to do something. And suddenly I had a stirring. God began. See, God deals with us. He deals with us. When God deals with you, on the inside, you know there's something I'm supposed to do, something I'm supposed to say, somewhere I'm supposed to go. Paul prayed in the Colossian prayer that we might please him. And if we're going to please him, he's got to deal with us. You know you deal with your children. You don't want to hurt them. You don't want to harm them. You want them to do right. You want them to live right. You want them to be blessed. You want them to profit. And you begin to deal with them. And when they're smaller, you say, now, Mama wants this, or Mama and Daddy think this. And you begin to deal with them. And you don't deal with them with disease. Said, you boys line up at the refrigerator. I'm giving out flu disease today. If you'd been better, we wouldn't have had to do this. And you know what? The government will arrest you and put you in jail because it is illegal to pass disease deliberately and intentionally onto your children. And yet we think God might do that. He would not. God's a good God. His mercy endures forever. He says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. Healed. He's a healing Jesus. Now what happens if I don't hear from God? I don't lay aside the weights. I'm not paying attention. I don't put it together. See, we might have to spend some time on our knees to put it together. What if I miss it? I go keep carrying the weights. God begins to deal with me, but I don't get it. I was at lunch one day, a group of ladies, and this lady said her daughter needed, and she laid it out what she needed, and she said, I really think God wants to do that for her. Well, for days I thought about that. I thought, you know, that is absolutely right. I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that God wanted to do that for her daughter. I knew it. And I just was about to crank up my faith to believe God that somebody would do that for her. I figured it'd cost about $1,500, thereabouts. Not too positive, hadn't checked on prices, but I knew that God was in it, and I knew that mother was right, and I knew God was sending somebody to do that, but I didn't know it was me. So God began to deal with me, and on the inside, suddenly it dawned on me, you could do that. Wayne and I had never done anything of that magnitude for anybody. And I thought, boy, if I tell Wayne I want $1,500, it's not going to go over. He's going to know what you want it for. So finally, because I know God's in it. See, God deals with us. When God deals with us, if we yield to him, if we submit to him, if we say, yes, Lord, I'll do that. See, God, oh, he's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I said to Wayne, told him about the luncheon, told him about God dealing with me. And he says, all right, I'll get you the money. We'll do it. He never hesitated, never bad an eye. We got it all together, made some inquiries. The Lord passed a deal, a deal just fell in our lap, ended up costing us about $300 this off. But see, you can pass the leadership God deals with, you can pass that by. You can just turn a deaf ear. You can be so busy. Sometimes I'm so busy working for God, I don't hear from God. He has to go, whoosh. Wish I could whistle, never did learn to whistle. Has to whistle at me, stop me. One fella told me he was going down the road, he had a nickname. He liked his nickname, always called by his nickname, he didn't like his real name. Nobody ever called him that. And he said he's going down the road to business. Had really busy, he was doing really well and really, really well in business and really, really busy. And suddenly somebody called his name. He heard it on the inside. Called his real name, not his nickname. And he recognized it was God. Pulled off the side of the road. God had been trying to deal with him, couldn't get his attention. So God said, I tell you what, I happen to know what your name is, and I'm calling it. And God skipped over the nickname and called him by his given name, his birth name, and got his attention. God began to deal. See, God wants to deal with you. He wants to tell you what you need to do. He wants to tell you how you need to help this body. He wants to tell you how to help your neighbors. I just every now and then I stumble up and do something right for God. It's just amazing. And we had a neighbor, they were quite elderly then, and I don't think they're alive. The family had to move them. But I felt, we have a body of water between us, and so she waves and hollers, I wave and holler. I didn't really know her except we had a what we call an anointed wave going. And I say, hi, how are you? Good to see you out, you know. And I could see she's getting feeble. Well, one day I felt to bake a pie. You know, I don't bake but 2 pies a year. It's not that I don't know how, it's that I don't want to. I had to crucify the flesh. You're going to work for God. You're going to have to crucify the flesh. That's just all there is to it. So I baked it. Can't even get there. Have to get in my car and go all the way around to get there, even though she's right there and I'm right here. Can't get there. So I went. I carried her the pie. She invited me in. She's talking. She was an anointed and gifted talker about stuff. It's a good thing, because I'm not much into talking about stuff, and so it's a good thing that all I had to do most of the time was wave. I think, my, you go to talking, and you're in your 30th or 40th minute of telling me something, I'm looking at my watch, I'm thinking, I got a lot to do. And that's just a flaw in my personality. It has nothing to do with you. Unless you're like me. And I'm looking at her piano. And there were 3 little boys in a picture on the piano, and I recognized them. I said, that's so-and-so. I was their babysitter for years, 2 houses down from my mother, in another city. And she said, those are my grandsons. Is not God smart? Is not he sharp? Does not he know? If he could deal with us and we could hear his voice, we could run this race. I mean, we could pick up speed. So many times we're so weighted down, we're so confused, we can't get where we're going. That happens to Wayne and I all the time. I don't know how many times we leave our house twice. We have 100 yards of driveway, and I don't know how many times we leave it twice before we get it all together. We'll be halfway down the drive, and I think, I forgot the... It's always something. We need the... It's usually the phone. Did you get the phone? Did you lock the dog up? We have this elderly dog, and she's not allowed to roam around the house unless I'm supervising. She's 14 years old. And we have to go back. Now, wouldn't it be good if when God spoke to us, we could hear it the first time? See, and you don't have to know why. Why is it we think we have to know, wonder why God wants me to do that? I don't know. Well, I don't think that sounds more than once. I thought God's plan didn't sound too good. But you know, my vision is not even 2020. I have to have glasses to bring it up to nearly 2020. And God sees all things and has all things, it says, in his remembrance. Holds the world in the palm of his hand. I think he knows what he's doing when he's talking about you, don't you? God begins to deal with us. Now, this passage tells exactly what's going to happen in my life if I yield when God deals with me. Where is my Bible? I love this passage. There's no element of evil in it. God isn't going to chasten you. See, somebody will be sick tomorrow and you say, well, I wonder what God did that for. He didn't do it at all. Now look, verse 9. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. The dealing of God, the chastening of God is divine correction. And God corrects us by bringing his word, by showing visibly his plan so we can see it clearly, showing us our part and where we veered off course or where we're carrying too much weight or where we're going to stumble. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which correct us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not rather, watch this, what does it say? Be in subjection to the what? Father of spirits and live. I didn't even know that was up there. Isn't that nice? If I submit, submit is when you agree with God. It's amazing to me that we would disagree with God, but we will. And we do, and we have. But if I submit, He's the Father of spirits, knows all things. His plan is going to bring what? Life and life more abundantly. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. If I submit to God, I'm going to have life. Well, you want life or death? You know, there's not much territory in between life and death. You live for God, you live in peace, you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Are you living death, dread, despondency, despair, depression, uptight, strung out, no good to yourself, no good to anybody else? God begins to deal with you because He wants you to have life. But you have to be in subjection. You have to say, all right, I'll do that. Now look at the next thing that's going to happen in verse 10. They barely for a few days profited, chastened us after their own pleasure. That just means they did the best they could. They thought what they was doing was right. You know, children never think you've done the right thing. They're sure you've missed it. And that just means mom and dad did what they thought was right. But He, Almighty God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. A lot of translations, instead of profit, say good. He, for our good. It's going to bring life. It's going to be good. Well, I'm in, aren't you? Yeah. I'm in. Amen. And it's going to bring holiness. Well, the scripture says, be ye holy, for I'm holy. And if I don't see where I missed it, and He doesn't tell me where I missed it, yet He sees where I missed it, how unfair would that be? What kind of God would that be? See, you're missing it. See, you need to make some changes. See, you need to make some adjustments. And He's not going to deal with you. So do the best you can. Hang in there. It'll all be over after a while. Songwriter said we'll understand it better after a while. I know there are some things we're going to understand better after a while, but I know there's some things, if we listen to the voice of the Spirit of God, we're going to understand today. I just know that. Oh, you know, when I get in trouble and things aren't working, I go to this verse that says, God deals with you, verse 7, and I get on my knees or in my chair and I say, God, deal with me. Just deal with me. Deal with me. Deal with me. Because if God deals with me and I hear that and I make that change, I'm going to have life. I'm going to walk in holiness. I'm going to have good. I'm going to profit. And I intend to submit to the leadership, to the dealing of God. I intend to. I said, God, I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm just trying to get it clear in my thinking what it is you're saying to me. Because sometimes it's not real clear to us. But you know, God is a great communicator. And He's placed a teacher on the inside. And I know if I sit in His presence, one day I'm going to get it. I'm going to understand it. And then I'm going to change. I'm going to adjust. It says, lay aside. Now Moses was raised in the wealth of Egypt. What did he lay aside when he went to leave God's people? He laid aside wealth, prosperity, all the grandeur and the glory, because it was a grand nation that day. He laid that aside to lead God's people. He laid it aside to go to the wilderness. He laid it aside to tend sheep and then be called of God by a burning bush. So sometimes God wants us to put that down. Now here's the thing. People that smoke cigarettes, I've talked to a lot of them. Some of them don't want to be delivered. They don't want to be set free. They're just happy as they can be. And if God deals with them, one lady talked to me and talked to me and talked to me, and I'm listening because I'm a nice person. I went, Then it dawned on me what she wanted. And I said, so what do you want? You want me to pray that you can continue smoking but you'll never get cancer? She said, yes, that's exactly what I want. I went, sorry. That prayer won't work. See, she didn't want to lay that aside. And some things God asks of us, things that might be a little difficult, we're not really interested. God begins to deal with you to work in the nursery. But you, that's not, you know, we just say, that's not really my thing. But when God speaks, it brings what? Life. Good. Holiness. Oh, I love that. Let me tell you what happened years ago. Somebody in authority asked me to write a report. They wanted to make some changes and some procedures. We were working together, and I was not in charge. They were, and they wanted me to write the report and told me what kind of changes they wanted to make, and they asked me would I do it, and I, just because I believe in yielding to those in authority. We're supposed to be a very loving and submissive people. So I said I would, but you know what? I didn't really want to. And I thought the way we were doing it was just fine. I thought it was working good. I thought it had been working for years. I didn't see any reason to change it now. But he's in charge. I'm not. He said change it and write that down, put the report on my desk, and I said I would, but I didn't. And we went on vacation. I told him I'm going on vacation. When I get back, I'll write that report for you. But when I got back, he didn't mention it to me, and I thought, maybe he's forgotten it. And I went to teach a lesson, didn't have any anointing. I teach by anointing. I don't have any notes tonight. I don't hardly ever teach with notes. If I have to teach from my notes, we're all in trouble. Because the Lord really moves through me. I've learned, I've been at this 30 years though, you learn a few things, and I've learned how to cooperate with heaven. Sometimes we do better, sometimes we, you know, good, better, best, never let it rest, or the good is better and the better is best. And there are degrees of anointing and degrees of prophet and so forth, but I went to teach and there wasn't any degree of anything. I couldn't figure that out because I was prepared. I always prepare. I lean on the Lord, but I don't come unprepared. So the next week I had another class due on the same subject in, you know, part two, and I studied harder, prayed harder, got up, no anointing. I mean, not an ounce. I never stumbled around so much. See, you think I'm a talker about things, but I'm not. People that know me and see me teach are amazed. I'm just not a, you know, I have to work at that. I have to work at that. Well, I began to pray. They called a meeting at the church. Never will forget it. It was a round table to discuss something and lay something out. I don't even know what it was because I could hardly listen because my heart was broken. I can't teach. I can't go on. I can't teach without anointing. I don't know what to do. See, I said, God, deal with me. God, deal with me. Deal with me. Deal with me, deal with me, deal with me. Please deal with me. I'm listening, God, I'm listening. See, I have to have missed it. The anointing doesn't lift for no reason. I've missed it somewhere. I know that I know. If you'd asked me, I said, I have missed it. I've done something wrong. I don't have a clue what it was. I had waited so long to write that report, I'd totally, completely forgotten it. It's not even part of my memory. I'm not even ignoring it anymore. So I was distressed. They had dismissed us to pray, and everybody prayed up front, but I prayed in the back. I went all the way to the back and prayed. I didn't want to meet up with anybody. They dismissed us. There's a front door and a back door. I went out. I saw they're all going out the front door. I went out the back door. I think my car's over here, but I'm around the parking lot. I'm going to escape. Nobody's going to talk to me. I don't want to talk about anything. I'm distressed. When I ran to the man in charge, and he said, "What is the matter with you?" I said, I don't know if I've made a mistake. I know I've made a mistake. I've done something really wrong. Knew it as well as I knew my name. Because God deals with you. The God of heaven that says, lay aside every weight, identifies the weights so we can lay them aside. How much better a deal can you get than that? Oh, thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God for that. He said, well, I'll pray for you. I said, I appreciate it. I went home. Next day or two, he called. He said, I hope you're sitting down. This is the man I was supposed to write the report for, by the way. He said, if you'd done what I told you to when I asked you to, this would never have happened. And the minute he said, I hope you're sitting down, I had this flash of light. And I saw that blank piece of paper. And I knew that's what it was. I knew it was that report. I knew it. He didn't even have to say it. I already saw it. I already knew it. And then he said it and we had a confirmation. And I said, I'll have it on your desk tomorrow, which I did. And you know, his idea worked out all right. The changes he wanted to make, they were good. I just wasn't interested. But worked fine. Is God dealing with you? Is if I thought I've got to run this race, I've got to have a goal, a vision, I've got to run patiently with perseverance, I've got to be disciplined and crucify the flesh, I've got to be out to win, I've got to trust God with all my mind, soul, and spirit, and God wasn't going to help me, wasn't going to deal with me, then I'm crippled. Now the Bible paints word pictures, and I want you to get this picture. This is just a picture. The subject matter is the dealing of God to help you to lay aside weight, to lay aside sin, so that you can run the race and get to the end, so you can say, I have finished. Now when he comes to the end of this marvelous passage, he says in verse 12, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Why are the hands hanging down and the knees feeble? Because you're carrying so much weight that's unnecessary. Because you're carrying so much sin that needs to be confessed and covered by the blood of the Lamb. He said, lift those up. Why? Why can I, in the middle of my dilemma, you've seen people who are, I say just periodically when I think about it, because I'm getting older, I'm fixed to have my 60th birthday. You believe that? I still feel the same. I know I look a little different, but I still feel the same as I always felt. But I'm fixing to be 60. And I watch as people get older, they quit lifting their feet. They get feeble, and they shuffle. And they droop. And I say all the time, I'm going to be sound of mind, sure of step. Sound of mind, sure step. I got my faith and my confession out there. I'm going to run this race right to the end. I'm going to cross the finish line on my own 2 feet. I read somewhere you can have what you say, and I'm saying it. Because God wants me to have healing and health. That's His will. And I'm cooperating with heaven. But you see, when your knees are feeble, and your hands are down, and your head is bowed over, it's all this weight that you're carrying. All of these things God's dealt with you about or wants to deal with you about that you're not listening. And it says, make straight path for your feet. A straight path is a level path. You know, in John the Baptist, they said every mountain would be brought low and every valley would be brought up. What does that do? Levels the path. And a straight path is a level path. He said, you need to make a straight path, a level path for your feet. You can't do that if God doesn't deal with you. And God isn't going to interfere with your life unless you submit to Him, unless you come to Him and say, deal with me. Deal with me. Point it out to me. Speak to me. Oh, and that's what I want. The finest day of my life was when I had that flash and saw that blank piece of paper and knew where I'd missed it. Able to correct that, change that, step back into the anointing and teach by the Spirit. Somebody said, that must have been an awful moment. I said, you know what? That's one of the best days of my life. One of the best days of my life when Almighty God, through a man of God, said, there's your mistake. See, if you give your word, God said a pilgrim swears to his hurt and changes not. You better keep it or you're in trouble with. And I gave my word. And it wasn't that I accidentally forgot it, which makes a difference. I intentionally ditched the idea. I was glad to forget it. I wanted to forget it. And I was wrong. But see, God deals with us so we can have life, so we can have goodness, so we can profit. And He said, my dealing will bring the peaceable fruit of righteousness. God's dealing brings peace. And the moment I confessed that and got that paper together, I had peace. Passing all understanding, peace beyond knowing. You're talking about peace like a river? I know that I know. Next lesson I teach, He'll be there. I know it. My, I had peace. And that peace is in verse 11, I deed for you. But it says, unto those which are exercised thereby. Those that are exercised are those that receive the dealing. You know, I have an exercise machine. You know why it's not working too good? Do you have any idea at all? I don't use it too much. I was on it the other night and I thought, wow, this hurts every cell, every pore, every muscle, every artery, every vein. I think I hurt from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I knew why, because the last time I got on it was probably 6 months ago. I thought, phew. You just try to do 20 minutes a day. I'm going to cut it to 10 so maybe I can be steadier. I got that machine when I had to walk across Moscow and realized I wasn't able to do that. Oh, thank God. See, we have to be exercised. You want peace, you want life, you want profit, you want holiness. You've got to hear from God and submit and say yes. Now, here's the picture. We're making this level path for our feet. Are you following that? It says, lest that which is lame. What made you lame? The sin and the weight. See, the sin and the weight made you lame. People that are lame, people have trouble walking. You're carrying a load that God doesn't want you to carry. You're doing some good things that aren't going to be profitable for you, or maybe aren't the good things that you should do. Maybe there's some sin you should confess. I don't know. But all those weights and all that sin is causing you to be lame. But it says, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Do you know what that means, be turned out of the way? See, if I don't let God deal with me, if I ignore Him, if I don't submit to Him, I'm going to go from lame to being turned out of the way. And all the translators use two or three words for that, turned out of the way, and said, unless that which is lame become completely dislocated. In other words, things are going to get worse. And it's all my fault because I'm not listening. Or because I heard and wouldn't heed. Aren't you glad God loves you? Aren't you glad He sees you think you're limping now? You keep on that path and you wait till you dislocate. I don't know if you ever broken your hip, dislocated your hip or your shoulder. Wayne's mother dislocated her shoulder. And they thought she had a heart attack. So for two or three days, they're hunting symptoms of a heart attack and couldn't find any, and finally realized she'd pulled her shoulder, wasn't even in the socket. She was in excruciating pain, so much pain, that's why they thought she had a heart attack. You don't like lame. You're not going to like dislocation. And it's not going to be God's fault because He wants to deal with you. Chasing you. And that word chasing is the same word to educate. It means God's got a plan for you. Plan that'll bring hope, that'll bring a future, that'll bring holiness, that'll bring life, that'll bring abundance, that'll bring peace. And if you just trust Him, if you just yield to Him, then you can lay aside the weight. You not only won't be dislocated, you understand that's just a picture God's painting so we can see the truth. But He said, you'll be healed. Let it be healed. What's the will of God? His goodness in your life? His blessing? That's His will. Why is He trying to correct you and change you so you can have His goodness, His blessing, His healing? You know, if one of my children had something wrong with their knee or their feet limping through life, I'd pray and then I'd probably take them to a medical facility. I'd want something done. If they're in agony, I don't want them to be in agony. And if the doctor said, if we don't do this surgery, see, sometimes God's into surgery. Now, He's a divine healer, and divine healing is so much better than surgery. But sometimes He's into surgery. And if God began to deal with me to go ahead and take the child to have the surgery, and I don't do that, and then the trauma becomes worse, and the knee becomes so inflamed that it becomes exceedingly abundantly painful and dislocated, whose fault's that? I don't know why God did that. He didn't do it at all. You weren't listening. I wasn't listening. Because when God speaks, He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to what? He's trying to help you. He's going to see if you keep going that direction, you're going to be on the wrong road, on the wrong path. Wayne and I were in Paris, Texas. We stopped to eat. And he's tired. I don't like to drive. But he's tired, and I'm going to drive. He puts me on the road, and he did put me on the road. I just want to make that disclaimer up front. He said, drive down that road. He got me started. I got on that road. I drove straight down that road. I did not turn left or right. He woke up after a while, and he said, the sun's in the wrong place. You're on the wrong road. You turned off this road. But I didn't. I just flat didn't. I'm right on that same road he put me on. An hour later, we came back to where we had lunch. And we did the loop around the city. That was wrong. You think I wanted to waste an hour looping the city when I had several hundred miles more to go to my destination? I think not. Isn't it a good thing that God deals with us? Isn't chastening a wonderful thing? We've misunderstood it. And we've fought with it. We've battled with it. We've run from it. We've been reluctant. But if you'll hear and you'll obey, God can smooth out your way. If you'll hear and then you'll heed, God can meet your every need. If you'll hear what God does say, and you'll submit and surrender every day, then health and healing, blessings galore on you, he'll pour more and more and more. And that's his will and that's his plan. He wants a man to conquer the land. He wants one to, having done all, to stand. He doesn't want you to crippled be, weighted down with cares and weights, frightened and fearful for what might be. He wants to say, listen, Becky, let me tell you what I see. And he'll say, do you see what I see? Shh. I say, show it to me, Lord. Show it to me. Show it to me. Do you see what I see? There was a child, born in manger mild, a blessing he came to be. And you'll be blessed if you'll bow your knee. A child, a blessing he came to be. But submissive to him you must be. Submissive to him you must be. Now, if you're in a jam, I'll just tell you how to get out of it. You go home tonight. I don't care if you bow and pray. One lady said she couldn't pray, so she was laying flat with her face in the carpet. That won't work for me. It gives me a backache. However you do it, I'm a mover. Usually walk and pray. I've done, I think already this last year, I must have done, I don't know, several hundred miles in the kitchen. Round and round. I don't know. I just feel better. If you'll say, God, deal with me. My finances aren't working. Deal with me. My children, deal with me. You know, sometimes God will deal with you and say, get off their case. You're too sharp-tongued. So just deal with me. When you come face-to-face with what God does say, and you're not reluctant, hesitant, and you don't draw back, you see, then he can work it out, and great peace and pleasure will be. And that's his will, that's his plan all along. It's just waiting for you and I to be and do that for which he longs. He's calling, calling, Becky. Write the report. I didn't hear it. I'm so grateful for people who help your hearing. I have some people I'd call if my hearing wasn't working, my spiritual hearing wasn't working, things weren't going well. I have two or three people I'd call. I'd call from Russia. I'd call from Kenya. I know people who can help my hearing. But the best thing is for my hearing to be keen. Face to face with God, my Savior. See, the closer you are, the better you hear him. You know what happens at your house? Wayne goes out to the shop. I don't know he's out at the shop. And I say, Wayne, Wayne. I talk to the dog. She doesn't know anything, but we ask her anyway. I said, have you seen Wayne? Where is he? She didn't know anything. And I holler, and I holler. And I get louder. I think, it's not in the house. And I open the door. And I say, Wayne! He doesn't hear me. He's got some tool in his ear. And I go out to the shop, and I open the door, and he's got his back to the door always, so all the tools are lined up so that you don't have to look at the person who's just called you. And I say, Wayne, he jumps. I'd been calling him all along. I've been calling him, hunting him for 10 or 15 minutes. Don't make God hunt you down. Say, here am I, Lord, in your presence. If you want to deal with me, here am I, Lord, in your presence. I want to see just what you see. Lord, speak and deal with me about things so fine. I'll submit my knee. I'll be your fruitful vine. You know we're supposed to bear fruit. You're supposed to be real fruity. Here am I, Lord. Draw near to God. He draws near to you. See, the closer you get, the easier it's going to be to hear him. And when you hear him, make up your mind. You're going to be really quick to submit, really quick to obey. You know the difference? There's a difference in repentant people. One of the major differences, somebody repents and things just, the problem just evaporates, disappears. It just seems to like, whew, that's all fine. Somebody else repents and it's like walking through the muck and the mire to get it straightened out. You know what the difference is? Timing and reluctance. This person's quick to repent, glad to repent, anxious to repent. You just speak, I'll correct that, I'll change that. This person didn't really want to repent, but they didn't want to get any trouble. And they took their time and they drug their feet. And then it takes more time. And you know why God irons things out for you? Because his mercy endureth forever. Now let's pray 2 minutes. And say, just say, God, deal with me. Don't say it if you don't mean it, because I got a clue for you. He's been waiting on some of you a long time. He's had something to say for a long time. And if you open the door, he's going to say it. And there's no use hearing from God if you're not going to obey. There's no use opening the door and having information that you're not going to follow. You know what I know? If I thought God wasn't going to deal with us, I'd be afraid to face tomorrow. Because I've already figured out in all of these years, I miss it a lot. I don't get things right. But I just tell you, God is real big, sees real clear, speaks real loud. And I know that I know He deals with us.